Welcome to our podcast here at the City on a Hill. We are calling The Remnant, and I pray that the Lord touches your heart to be a part of what God is doing here. And I hope by the time we're done this evening that God really, really ministers to your heart and really speaks to your heart and really plants seeds in your heart that will bear fruit into a great harvest. I'm Pastor Danny Lalayan here at the City on a Hill with my wife Julie. We're very glad to be here and have you joining us. First of all, before we get into anything else, I just want to remind people of our services. Our services are Sunday at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And, you know, the best way I know to describe our services is that with God, all things are possible. Anything can happen. We don't go in with anything preconceived other than we are there to please God. That's what our lives, and that's certainly what our worship is about, is to please God. So whatever pleases God, that's how we live. That's how the services here play out. And I encourage you to come and visit us and see what God is doing here. God is doing miracles at these altars.
Yes,
He is doing miracles.
Yes,
and
we're so grateful.
We are
so
very grateful for what God is doing and how He's blessing those people who are coming and surrendering to Him so that He can bless their lives with the supernatural. And as I like to say, and it's kind of become a theme of my life, is that we're never going to let the good get in the way of the supernatural. We have, as humans, preconceived ideas or learned ideas of what good is, and we convince ourselves that if we stick to those good things, then we're okay. But we allow the good most of the time to get in the way of the supernatural. And an example I like to use is when the lady came to anoint the feet of Jesus. Everyone was in a huff for a lot of different reasons, and then they, you know, stuck their shoulders back and said, "Well, you could have used the money from this fragrant, special, expensive oil. You could have used it to feed so many poor people." And Jesus said, "Hey, the poor you always have here. You could always do good for them." He said, "She did this for me. She did it for me." There is a level of the supernatural that is even beyond what we consider to be good. Every religion out there has things that it deems as good, that it deems as, well, if you feed the hungry, if you clothe the poor, if you do this or go on this type of mission or whatever it is, you could put it in there. But there's only one thing on this earth that brings the supernatural, and that is the power of the living God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. And that has to be our focus. It has to be our focus. And if, even with these words right now, if your heart is being touched, reach out to us. Reach out to us, whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, watching on YouTube, or send us a text. However you want to get in touch with us, let us know that your heart has been touched. Let us know that you have a heart for these supernatural things in the Lord. So praise the Lord. Well, as I said, as I jokingly say a lot, you know, we don't do a lot of planning around here. I tell people that whenever we do anything, they probably wish we did more planning, but we don't plan. We just allow the Holy Spirit to tell us what, for that moment, needs to be done and needs to be spoken. And literally, while we were in the car, about to come over here, my wife, she said to me, she said, "You know, we're doing the podcast in just a little bit." And I said, "Yeah, that's right. We're doing the podcast." And she said, "This is something that I've heard people say. They've asked me about. They've said to me, And I said, well, save it for the podcast. We'll just talk about that. And so when I say that these things are fresh and we don't have any preconceived ideas, I really mean that. And so what was it that you were going to talk to me about while we were in the car? Let's see if we can't get into that a little bit.
Well, I went ahead and jotted it down because I wanted to make sure that I was giving the question as what is being asked, you know, and discussed to me. So here goes. There are only two possibilities regarding how God distributes his might and favor to his people. He either does it randomly and arbitrarily, or he has reasons behind how he distributes it. There are no other options. And that's almost word for word from a message that you spoke. That's where the question came, you know, that was expressed to me. You said there's no other options. It's either arbitrary or it's not. Yeah. You know what? Or God has reasons to how he distributes his power, might, favor, blessings. You know, whatever word you choose to use. So how? What's the truth about that?
Well, let's just start with this. Let me just make this statement: God is a God of order, a God of design, and there is nothing. Nothing in the Word of God. You start in Genesis, go all the way through the Old Testament, pick it up in Matthew, go all the way through Revelation. There is nothing in the Word of God that in any way points to God doing anything with any kind of randomness at all, period. But everything... And I don't have time to lay everything out here. I do it weekly in our services. But everything points to the fact that God started before the beginning of time with a plan. The Bible actually says before the foundations of the earth, Christ was crucified. He started with a plan before we were even here. And everything in the Word of God points to and shows that God came up with a plan, he sticks to his plan, and his plan never changes. Nothing about his plan has ever changed. It hasn't changed from Adam to Moses to David to Isaiah to Christ to Paul to us today. His plan has never changed. So the first thing that people have gotten, and it's been a real trick of the devil. The devil has, even unknowingly maybe for most people, has planted the seeds of God does things in a random, willy-nilly way. Because if you think that, then the next thought is, well, if God does things randomly, then it doesn't matter what I do. Because what I do is not going to influence God. People don't understand that there is an entire Bible showing that God is a Father in heaven that desires to be influenced by his children. That is scripture after scripture after scripture. You can't show me a scripture that says that God does something randomly. However, you can't find a place in the Bible that doesn't show the fact that God desires to be influenced by his children. Mm-hmm. The fact that it calls us his children of our Father in heaven shows that there is a relationship there that God desires to be influenced. So let me go back to your original question, which again came from a statement that I made. But there are truly only two choices. You can try to play with it all you want and come up with others, but when everything is, all the fluff is taken away, there's only two choices. Either God randomly does it, or God has a plan, a law, if you will, that says, this is what I am looking for and what I desire. And when people do these things, then I bless my people with them.
Yes.
The word of God is scripture. That's a very important scripture to what we do here. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, and I've talked many times about how when it says without faith, it really means without the supernatural. But that's for another time. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, let me just stop there for a minute. The fact that it says it is impossible to please God without faith should totally crush the idea that God doesn't expect from his people. He expects his children to do certain things. And when I say God expects, he doesn't expect. When I say expect, he's not talking about, oh, he expects you to go give a hungry person food. He expects you to go and you know, put your arm around somebody and make to pat them on the back. Those are great things that if you have a loving heart, you should absolutely live that in your life moment by moment, day by day. But it doesn't take faith to do that. It doesn't. There are people of religions all over the world. There are Buddhists, Hindu, there are people that follow the Dalai Lama. There are all types of religions that say, oh, go and do good for go love somebody. Go put your arm around, go feed them, go help them. All over the world. That's not what makes you a Christian. Obviously, we know God is love. And if you're not showing godly love, then you probably don't have a heart for God.
Right, right.
So I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, it doesn't take faith to do that,
right,
though.
Right.
And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we just kind of throw that scripture out, and we lean on 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about, well, without love, you have to have love added to everything you do. You have to. But love is not faith. And in eternity, we're not going to need faith anymore. We are going to still have love. That's absolutely true. But the Bible makes it clear, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Can I expound a little bit on that,
yes,
too? Because I was kind of thinking about that scripture several days ago, because you use it a lot when you talk, when you're preaching and discussions like this, that first few words, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what I was thinking is that I know for a fact that many Christians would read those words and say that the without faith, it is impossible to please God, and only apply that to believing that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that's the faith that the scripture is talking about. That's what they would argue and say, oh, well, I believe that God is. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But then that completely takes away the second part of the scripture that says he is a rewarder, wage payer of those who diligently seek him.
You jumped ahead of me a little bit. I was getting there.
Sorry.
I guess I was talking too much. I was talking too much about that first part. That was the second part. She's absolutely right. That is the first part. People might be able, as you said, they talk themselves out of it. They talk themselves out of, well, you know, I believe in the Lord. Now, again, you can't read all of Hebrews 11 and 12 and really believe that's what it's saying.
Right.
Because he's talking to Christians.
Yes.
He's not talking to sinners and saying, hey, if you believe in the Lord. No, he's talking to people that already have the Lord. So that really in itself throws that out, where you can't just say, well, my faith is just believing that Jesus saved me. That's not what it's talking about. But for those people that are stubborn and don't want that don't want to move past where they are, to push for greater things, and just let me say this: what does the Bible say that stubbornness is as? That's witchcraft. And that is so infiltrated the church today. There is a spirit of stubbornness. And I get angry about it, and maybe I get too angry about it, and I get harsh about it sometimes, but I feel so passionate about it because stubbornness has infiltrated the church, and it has brought a witchcraft that is just, well, Paul said it like this. He said, Galatians, what has bewitched you? Mm-hmm. What has bewitched you?
Such an apt description.
But anyway, I need people to begin to get past that stubbornness. And the first part says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But then it explains it even further, exactly what he's talking about. For those people that say, well, God just wants us to believe that Jesus, you know, is my Savior, that you can't start without that. But it makes it clear when it says the next part. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, wait a minute, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. In other words, you do what God's asking, and God rewards you. And I encourage all the amateur Bible scholars to go and actually go to your Strong's Concordance and go look up what that word reward means. It means a wage payer. People here at the City on the Hill, they already knew where I was going with that. It literally means someone that pays wages. But I didn't think God expected me to do any work. Wage paying means that I'm working. God doesn't expect, I'm not saved by works. No, you're not saved by works. You're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But everything after salvation,
sanctified.
Everything is your walk of being sanctified,
yes,
to become a supernatural person, mm-hmm, to become someone that is like Elijah. Don't you want to be an Elijah? Don't you want to have the fire of God coming down on your behalf? But it takes people that say, okay,
yes,
I was saved by grace. And grace alone. I did nothing to earn it. But everything after that, God expects my work and if I work, God rewards it by paying the wages. He gives me the supernatural wages, the supernatural ability to do things. And that's why we talk about Hebrews 11 as being the hall of faith. All these people that did these signs and wonders, mm-hmm, for God, that's because they climbed the mountain. And they said, God, I'm climbing this mountain to become supernatural. But here's the best part. Anything that they did, we can do even more because we've got the Spirit of the Lord living inside,
amen,
of us.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful way that God did it. But you have to start with it, with acknowledging, I am saved by grace. But everything after that, I've got to work for and I've got to do. Mm-hmm. Let me kind of bring it from another level, just another, sometimes I forget I'm strapped in here, so excuse me.
Don't move too much.
But let me come from this angle. In Galatians 3 ends with this. It says, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It means that if you're Christ, immediately when you get saved, you become an heir of all the promises. The Bible says, in Romans, it says we are joint heirs with Christ, meaning everything he got, we get. Isn't that an awesome thing to think about?
Yes.
That everything he got, we get. Now, if you flip over to Galatians 4, it immediately jumps into, well, you know, even though you're an heir, if you're a child, you're actually no better than the slaves. You actually, if you're the heir of all this inheritance, but if you're an immature heir, you really can't use it.
You can't access it.
You can't have it because, and here's the big word, because God can't trust you. It has nothing to do with God loving you.
Right.
God loves you.
Nothing to do with your position.
He loves you. Even before you knew God, God loves you. But he can't trust you. Mm-hmm. You're an heir. It's yours. It is rightfully yours. The supernatural is yours. It is rightfully your inheritance. But if you're not walking according to not the law of righteousness, to the law of holiness, and growing up and climbing that mountain and getting strong in the Lord and doing the works.
The works.
That God wants you to do. If you're not doing that, then God can't trust you. And there's a reason why the Bible uses the father and child imagery.
Yes.
What father would have a child and say when that child is 4 years old, hey, listen, here's the keys to the car. Here's my credit card. Go do whatever you want to do. No one would do that. Hey, my son Nat's sitting over here. Hey, Nat, you just turned 5? Listen, there's a drawer of knives you could go play with over there. All those knives are yours. I mean, it's ridiculous. I know that sounds ludicrous, but that's what we expect God to do. We expect God, when we become Christians, just to say, God, I'm not going to prove anything to you. I'm not going to show you anything. I'm not going to be sanctified. I'm not going to be holy. I'm not going to do any of these things, but I expect you to give me everything. And then when he doesn't, the next response is, God just must have some random plan, and I can do whatever I want to do because God does it randomly, and I want to be like God, so I'm going to live randomly. I'm going to go to his house when I want to. I'm going to live the way I want to, and God doesn't care. Now, again, it sounds ridiculous when you say it like that, and it is ridiculous. And that's the way the vast majority of Christians live. And let me just take it a step further, because I really believe it's an important thing to acknowledge. There's been many decades of different ways of trying to attack the same thing. There was a time when everybody went to church, everybody, and found out that things really didn't work. There was a time now it's kind of switched to the opposite, where every metric that is available says that tens of millions of people have quit going to church. Still not working. The thing that is missing, though, excuse me, the thing that is missing, and I really need to add this in, the thing that is missing is the anointing, is the anointing of God. The prophetic anointing of God, the true prophetic. And I bring that in for this reason, because this, the city on the hill, it comes from a heritage that has had to live this out. If our heritage was not a part of a legitimate prophetic anointing, then I wouldn't be here today, because they would have been killed in Armenia when the genocide happened. But because they were a part of a true prophetic anointing, and listen, there were hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Armenians that were killed.
More than a million.
And all those people, by and large, claimed to be Christian people because they were a Christian nation. And that wasn't enough to spare them. The only thing that brings the real power of God is the legitimate prophetic anointing. Not the, please excuse how I say this, not the yahoos you see today screaming about different politics and things like that. The true prophetic anointing of God. Mm-hmm. And so I say this because I'm hoping to touch someone's heart. I'm hoping to get a hold of people. I'm hoping that I'm able to plant seeds today, that there are things coming down the pipe that we don't see yet. God's begun to reveal some things, but there are things coming that we might not know yet. And God's remnant, isn't that what it's about the remnant?
Yes.
God's remnant has got to prepare and get themselves ready for those things.
Yes.
And it comes from the true prophetic anointing of God. And so I encourage you, seek the Lord. I encourage you, call upon the Lord. And I have to say this, I encourage you, Watch what God is speaking here. And if the Lord touches your heart, come see what God is doing here. Because I'm telling you, it will change your life and position you to be a part of the worldwide remnant that God is going to build to show his supernatural power. Praise the Lord. Well, did we answer the question? Is there anything
yes,
that I missed?
You did. You answered the question. I was hoping you would bring a little bit about the scriptures in Mark 4, where the sowing of the seed, and especially the very last verse in that part about the sowing the seed that says, but the seed, when Jesus was explaining it to his disciples, explaining the parable, after he told his disciples, you know, I speak in parables for a reason, so that, you know, some will receive it and some will not.
Do you have it opened up there?
I do.
Read
which, what part of it?
Read the last part where he's explained to them about
the one sown among the thorns.
Yes, and thank you. Yes.
Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Okay, now read the next one.
But these are the ones. The last ones that Jesus talks about, these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. But it doesn't stop there. It says, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold.
Well, I hope we have time for me to get into this. I'll try to do it quickly. But let's start with this. Jesus is talking about the seed and how people receive the seed. And people more or less, you know, they kind of fall in line with the meaning of it until it gets to that part about those that get choked out. That's where it really begins to be a problem for people. Because I want you to notice what it says in the Word of God. I don't have it in front of me, but that's why I had her read it. I want you to notice what it said. It said, these are the ones who hear the Word. And they actually begin to grow in the Lord. It says there's actually a plant there. They are growing in the Lord. I would put forth that probably describes, I'm just putting a number on it just for the sake of trying to help us see clearly. I'm guessing that probably speaks to a good 90% of Christianity right there. They hear the word. And they actually begin to grow in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And most people think, that's it. I've heard the word. I've heard it. And I'm growing. I've got a plant. I've got a God plant growing. But the Bible says that even that's not good enough. Mm-hmm. It's not good enough. And it leaves you open. It leaves you open to the things of the enemy. Mm. And I again... I don't know exactly where to draw the lines, but I'm just going to speak and pray the Holy Spirit ministers this to your heart. But there are so many people that we know, and so I know that there's people that you know. I'm talking about so many people that espouse the name of Jesus, and they're suffering. And they're hurting. And many of them, even this past week, people that we know, they're dying. Because, and you say, isn't that sad? It's so sad. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't have to be like that. And you say, well, what's going on, Pastor? Here's what's going on. They're hearing the word. They're even growing a plant for God. But what does it say? It talks about the cares of this world. The
desires
cares of this world.
For other things.
The desires for other things. Well, God understands. He understands that my child needs to play travel ball. And that happens to be on Sunday. God understands that we came in from out of town last night. God understands that He understands that when you pay for a vacation, you have to pay Saturday to Saturday. So he understands that we're not going to be at his house. And that's just one area. There's being at God's house. There's giving. There's all types of 100 different things I could go into. I'm just trying to bring the obvious up. God understands. And the cares of life, the desire for other things. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we're not trying to please God, well, how do you please God? Well, you might not know yet, but a good place to start is to find where the anointing is and to be at those altars whenever the doors are opened. That's a good place to start.
Right.
And so it says that it comes and it chokes it out. It chokes it out. And it never is able to get to harvest. But then it goes a step further. And it says, these are the ones that actually get a harvest. And it's the people that are doing everything we're describing over these last 20 or 30 minutes. They're doing these steps of faith that we've been talking about. So I'm not going to get back into that. But I want you to notice how she ended it.
Yes.
Some 30, some 60, some 100. And the harvest is not random. Who decides if you get 30, 60, or 100? Does God decide?
Me.
Does God look at you and say, okay,
right here,
you get 30, you get 60, you get 100? No, you decide. You decide how much your harvest is. That you can't find anything in the Word of God that is other than that.
Right.
I get up and preach service after service, breaking down scriptures to show that to be true. You decide. And so again, why are we saying this? Because I'm praying that God touches your heart. I'm praying over the City on a Hill people that God will take you even further. Because I'm believing that God wants us to have a house full of Elijahs out here. And if you're not a part of the City on the Hill, I'm praying God touches your heart to reach out to us. Because I'm telling you, God is building a remnant. He's building a remnant, and God wants you to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just remind you again, we got a lot going on here. Stay up with everything that we're doing on all the platforms. Look us up at City on the Hill, Loganville. And reach out to us. Let us know you enjoyed the podcast.
Yes.
I hope to see you here Sunday morning as well. God bless you.